Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Yeah, let's go to our foundational scripture, and we are going to say the vision, and we are going to get started. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Father, we thank You for Your presence today. We thank You for everyone here. Lord, we just are so grateful for what You're doing in this time, in this hour. Father, we see in the midst of all the confusion and the chaos in our world, we see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, we thank You for that we can see. You've given us Your vision. We can see. We see our salvation, Lord. We thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for what You're doing. Now continue to give us revelation knowledge, increase our wisdom and our understanding of all You have called and created us for. We thank You for it, and we trust You in the name of Jesus. And Father, if there's someone here today or watching on live stream that has never called on Your name, may they call upon the name and be saved. You said, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Father, may they call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and begin to walk with You in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So we are looking at this idea of being committed. And remember, our word commit. It means Golgotha. It's the Hebrew word Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. That's what the word commit means. So this is where Jesus was crucified, on Golgotha's hill, place of the skull. And remember, theologians and historians believe that, and it's been, they have proof even, that Goliath's head was buried in that hill. When David defeated Goliath, he cut off his head. That was part of his assignment, to cut off his head, and then they ended up burying it in Golgotha's hill. Goliath. Golgotha. You see the two words, how the Hebrew, that's, you catching that? So the Golgotha. See, now David, what'd he do? He cut off his head, and then he went to Israel, and he showed him, he took the head. He says, this is how you get ahead in life. I know I said that before, but I still think it's pretty good. That's how I would do it, right? So now think about this. Committed people, you're not going to accomplish anything without commitment. You're not going to graduate from college. You're not going to have a healthy marriage. You're not going to be successful in anything without commitment. It takes commitment to accomplish anything worthwhile in this life. If you're committed, it'll come to pass. Am I making sense? The biggest battle we face is in our thinking. But when we're committed, God is going to assist you in your thinking and show you and help you. Are you with me? Remember, the word commit also means to roll away. To roll away. In the Hebrew, it means to roll away. So when I'm committed, and it was a picture of camels when they would get on their knees, and they would be on a journey, and their water supply would be depleted, because they could carry 12, 14 gallons of water in those humps, and that would be gone, and they would have to stop the journey, and they would get on their knees, and they would roll off their burden. Off their gear, all the weight on their back, they would roll it off. And that's what the word commit means, to roll away. Isn't that interesting? So when they saw a camel doing that, they would say the camel's being committed. Isn't that interesting? So this is what we do when we start our day. We commit our day to the Lord, and we commit our way to the Lord, and we roll our burden off before we even go into our day. You see that? That's why it says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When you roll your burden away and you give it to God before you go to work, see, now you go to work and you don't carry it into work with you. But you see, if you haven't, I know I've been teaching this ever since the beginning of the year. Every one of you that have been here, you're doing this every day. I know that. Some of you are laughing. You're doing it, aren't you? Every day, you go to work, that's how you do it. That's what we do. When you do that, folks, listen. When you do that, the enemy doesn't have anything for you when you go to work. Here's what happens. When you don't roll it away and you go into work, the devil will have somebody planted there to help you with your burden. And now it's on your mind and it's consuming you and it's causing you to be anxious, worried, fearful, stressed out, because your burden, you didn't give it to God before you went to work. You catching this? Now listen, commitment is huge. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit your work to the Lord and he will establish your thoughts. The word established means prepared or fixed. Prepared or fixed. It's what happens with concrete. When it's been prepared, you can back a Mack truck up on it and not leave an impression on it. But if it's not prepared or fixed or established, you back up a truck on it and it will leave tire marks. It'll leave an impression in it that you can't remove. What's he saying? When you commit your works to the Lord, he establishes your thoughts. They're fixed. Nothing else is going to have an impression on your thoughts while you're working, while you're at work, while you're doing what you have to do during the day. Because it's fixed. Your mind is on him. He's taking care of you. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? It's already fixed. Nothing else is going to leave an impression because God is, you're committed. And because you're committed, he's taking care of your thoughts. Oh, that helps me. Just all the way around the world, it helps me. Bigger than big can get. You can go home now if you just get that right there. That right there is huge. Everybody say, I'm committed. You can't accomplish anything without commitment. See, people try to do things without commitment, and it never works. They wonder why it doesn't work. There's no commitment. You see that? So, commit your way. Commit your way to the Lord. Catch this. Commit your way to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus said, watch this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, when he said that, he was talking to people who understood the Old Testament temple. And then at the Old Testament temple, what happened? They had a place out in front of the temple where the laver was, and you washed, and your sins were washed away. And you repented. You repented in the way. The way. And then he said, I'm the truth. The truth was the door. Now I can get through the door to get the truth. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the door. I'm the one door. And he's saying, what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. They got behind the veil in the presence of God. Listen, that's how you get to the presence and life of God. The Zoe life, the life God created you for. It starts with repentance, the way. And now you get to through the door of the truth. And now you get to the way that connects you with God so you can fulfill his will and life that he created you for. Did you get that? Huh? That's what he's saying. The way. When you commit your way, it begins with repentance. Change your mind. You got to change your way of thinking. You got to change it. You see that? Without changing your mind, you'll be at war with God. Now watch. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. This word trust means, what's it mean? You remember? Careless. Careless. The Hebrew word is careless. So when I'm trusting God, I'm careless. When you're careless, you're not worried. Careless means to worry, to be full of anxiety. But when I'm careless, I'm not. That's what the word care means. Worry, anxiety. Anxiety is the number one reason for depression. That's if you're running around caring, trying to carry all your care, no wonder you're anxious and discouraged and depressed. But when you're careless, you're not worried. See, that's because you trust in God. And that's why he says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The word cast means to drop it. When you drop it, you're not carrying it. You see that? That's huge. That's big. Drop it. And he shall bring it to pass. What? Your struggle, your problem, your health problem, your whatever it is, he's going to bring it to pass because you're trusting him. You see that? All things are possible to them that believe. You see that? Now, we've been looking at the works of the flesh. And so in Galatians 5:19, we're going to return there. Give me that. Committed people are concerned about the flesh, not because of what it can accomplish, but they want to make sure that it doesn't accomplish what it wants to accomplish. Because your flesh will destroy you. Jesus said in John 6:63-64, he said, the flesh profits nothing. Nothing. The word profit means what's left after the exchange. So when you exchange what you've done in the flesh, looking for something, it's going to be empty. Not going to be any profit. Empty. So, and then Jeremiah 17:5, it says this, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes the flesh his strength. For he will be like a shrub planted in the desert and shall not see when good comes. You can't even see good when it's on the tip of your nose, when you're operating in the flesh. You can't even see it. That's in Jeremiah 17:5-6. You can't even see it. Are you catching this? The whole idea of God is trying to get you to see things the way he sees it. And that's called vision. Where there's no vision, the people what? Perish, or they cast off restraints. They cast off restraints. Proverbs 29:18. Where there's no vision, the people cast off restraints. There's no restraints to carry out the vision. We need restraints to see things the way God sees them. Because our flesh is trying to take us all these different places. And it clouds, it obfuscates our vision. So, that's why we need clarity. Clarity. Jesus said, if the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. If your vision is good, the word good means clear and single. If your vision is clear and single, your whole body will be full of light. And when you're walking in the light, you know where you're going. You see, you're not stumbling around in life because you can see. When you see the way God sees, that's what he's trying to get you to do. Now look, look, look. The works of the flesh, remember the word works is the word ergos, and it means to be employed. It means to occupy. Your flesh wants to occupy your life. It's going to labor against what matters most to you, your flesh. This is why we want to understand this. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, manifest. They show up, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. So remember, what are the works of the flesh? Adultery, fornication. Remember, those two words come from the word pornos, porny, pornography. That's a work of the flesh. When you participate in pornography, you're into fornication and adultery. You see that? It's mental adultery, mental pornography. Now listen to me. It literally means, here's what the word, it's pornos, but God says it's prostitution. So you prostitute yourself when you have sex outside of marriage. When you have sex outside of marriage, it's called nothing. The only thing it's called in the eyes of God, you know what God says? Prostitution. So you see, when you see it God's way, you don't want to participate in that. Are you catching this? You don't want to be into prostitution because you see it God's way. And now you'll treat it like cancer. I want to see it God's way, and I want it God's way. You'll wait for the best, for what God created you to be with one man. Or if you're a woman, if you're a man, one woman. Man and woman. You hear me? One. Now, think about this. That's the way he sees it. When you get involved in all that, prostitution, some people got mad at me about that a couple weeks ago. You mean I'm a prostitute? Well, I didn't say that. God sees it that way. Huh? You catching this? Any sex. But you see, sex in marriage. Somebody over here said it's good. Amen. Come on. All right, that's your pastor saying that. That's right. Because when you do it his way, there's nothing like it. He'll bring paradise. You see that? He wants you to have paradise when you see it his way. Come on, am I making sense? That's the way, that's what vision is. You see, when you're trying to do it your own way, you're bringing, look what it says, uncleanness. Remember in Mark 5, the demoniac had an unclean spirit. You invite demon spirits in your life to affect you and your life and the people close to you when you participate in any of that fornication and adultery and pornography and prostitution. Remember? I've told you, here's what I told you. If a prostitute comes in this house and she's been out prostituting, she is welcome here. Come on in. I won't judge you, and I better not hear anybody else judging them. We're going to love them, and we're going to help them. And we're going to do everything we can to help them. We're not going to tell them. We're not even going to tell them to stop. Because that's not our position. Our position is to love them and give them God's grace. And his power will cause them to see their error. And they won't ever want anything to do with it when they understand the love of God. And that's what you and I are to demonstrate to them. You see that? We're to never criticize and judge them and talk down to them. Because none of us are better than any of them at the foot of the cross. Did you catch that? That's good preaching right there. So that's why we're not going to judge anybody and we're not going to criticize anybody. If you come in here smelling like a weed, we had somebody testify the other night. They were smoking weed and they quit 20-some days ago and I could smell it on them. They started coming here a year ago. I could smell it on them. They acted like they had something on me. Shoot, I know what it smells like. I could smell it. You know, I got me a smeller. But I still loved them. You see that? So they feel free to come here.
That's right.
So when now what if I said, man, that smells like weed. What you doing in here smelling like that? Oh, he'd come back, wouldn't he? No, he wouldn't, or she wouldn't. I'm talking to all of us, right? How do you know what it smells like? Well, I used to, back in high school. That's 40-some years ago. Yeah, that's 40-some years ago. I used to do that. Roll down the windows, and man, you talk about just roaring everywhere. Man. I'm just telling you. God is out to clean up your life. You see that? And he wants to restore your life. He wants to restore your life in such a way to bring it back to the original condition. You say, you ever been in a store and they said there's a cleanup on aisle 5? Well, there's a cleanup on aisle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 in your life. Are you with me? And God, that's what God wants to do. He's going to restore your life back to the original condition and show you who you are. And he wants to introduce you to the you you haven't met yet. Did you catch that? That's how it is. God wants to restore you. Now, listen to this. Uncleanness, lewdness. The word lewdness means no restraints. That's talking about food, drink, and it's even talking about unbridled sex. Sex that's not with no restraints. Outside of me, that's lewdness. Lewdness is a word you don't want to participate in. You want to know about it, but you don't want to be walking in it. Amen? Let's go to the next one. Idolatry. Remember idolatry? Idolatry is an idol. Anytime you put anything before God, it can become an idol. An idol. You can make your children an idol. You can make your wife an idol. You can make your job an idol, your career an idol. You can make your car an idol. You can make, at one time, I was teetering on making the ministry here an idol. You can even make that an idol. Does this make sense? God wants you to have him on the throne and worshiping him and him alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's everything. He wants you to worship him. He's on the throne. You see that? And that removes idols. Now watch this. You can make a business. You can make all these different things idols. Your problem. You can make your problem an idol. You ever get around people, they got a problem. They just always got a scowl on their face and they're just, all they want to talk about is their problem. That's an idol. And you know what? It'll make you miserable. And God will let you have that. You see that? Get rid of that. God wants you to be free of that. When you get free of your problem, you can be now who God created you to be. Now look, last week we talked about sorcery. Remember the word sorcery? The word sorcery, it means, it's the Greek word, what was it? Witchcraft. Witchcraft. Now witchcraft, the Greek word for witchcraft is pharmakia. Pharmakia. So this is what sorcery is. It's witchcraft, and it has to do with drugs. You see that? The pagan priest in the first century church, people would come in with mental illness and mental struggles and maladies and difficulties, and they would mix hallucinogenic drugs in wine and give it to the people who were struggling. And they would get a buzz on that, and they would get a temporary hiatus, and it would wear off, and they would come back and want more. Come back to the temple to get more. But it wasn't healing anything. They had the same problem. So what he's saying, that's the work of the flesh. The flesh cannot help you. And that's what people do. They temporarily go on this hiatus. I'm going to go smoke a joint so I'll feel better. Or I'm going to take this drug to help me with my depression. You know what? Depression, some people have to take it. I'm not a doctor. But I do know this, that drugs can work just like witchcraft. My mom was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. And they gave her drugs like a rat, testing a rat all the time. And she went through all these different, I saw all that. I know this is true. I know this is true. Now think about this. So pharmakia, that's where we get the word pharmacy. All this drugs, okay? So now, here's the other side of the word witchcraft. You paying attention? The word witchcraft means, in the Hebrew, this is what it means. In 1 Samuel 15, it says, witchcraft rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Is the sin of witchcraft. Now, and he was talking about Saul when he rebelled against God and didn't complete his assignment with the Amalekites. He didn't complete his assignment, it says, because he feared the people. He feared the people and he didn't complete his assignment. Did you get that? And you can read Samuel 15, but we're not going to read it all today because I've got more to give you. So what happens is, when you fear people, you fear man, you set yourself up for confusion and witchcraft. Listen, he feared the people, so the people were controlling him, not God. The people were controlling him. Did you hear that? So that's what happens. The fear of man is part of witchcraft. When you're afraid of man and what they think and what they're going to say about you, that's insecurity. You should only be concerned with what God thinks about you. Am I making sense? We should only be concerned with pleasing God. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will reward you when you please him. You see that? We should live to please God. That should be our goal. I want to please God. When you please God, it says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. You see this? We should please God. Now, think about this. When I'm pleasing God, he's taking care of me. But when I want to please man, show me Proverbs 29. Now, we're going to go back to this, but show me Proverbs 29:25 real quick. The fear of man brings a what? Snare. Now, the word snare, remember, it means trap. So when we have the fear of man, it's a trap, and that was how the devil, what the devil would do, he would trap you to do his will. Now you're doing his will when you have the fear of man. Did you catch that? This is what goes on. This brings confusion in your life. See, you got to know who you serve. And confusion is one of the manifestations of witchcraft. Witchcraft is control, dominate, intimidate. Did you catch that? That's what control is. Domination, intimidation, and control. You ever get around people that want to control you? Man, you're looking for the exit. I don't like to be controlled. How about you? I don't want to be controlled. You don't either. Nobody wants to be controlled. So here's the idea. When you're in the love of God, he's controlled. Because, you see, when you're in the love of God, you're growing and maturing. And God is perfecting his love in you. Because he's the perfect one. And only God can control you when you're in the love of God. Now, people, circumstances, situations can't control you when you're in the love of God. Did you catch that?
Save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Save.